Healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. The show is called Healthy Alternatives because most of us really want to reach levels of optimum health. What optimum health is, we want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life more. That's what Healthy Alternatives is all about, to give you the options that you can use to reach those levels of optimum health. Every week, I begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because this can really have an impact on you, your health, your family's health. What I want to talk today about is genetically modified crops. GMO crops are crops where scientists have stuck a gene from another plant, another bacteria, into this plant. Its purpose being potentially to create pesticides in that plant that will prevent damage from insects. It's also to potentially get the plant to grow faster, produce more. That's what GMO crops are designed to do. Now, one of the things they say is that they resist pests, bugs, things like that. Now, what this conjures up in your mind is a insect that will kind of smell something and say, I think I'll fly somewhere else. It's not defined that way, and it doesn't happen in reality that way, because what it means is when a bug takes a bite out of a GM plant, genetically modified plant, the plant contains within it its own pesticide. And what that does, it actually kills the bug. Sounds okay, except the problem becomes we may be absorbing that pesticide into our system. One of these pesticides is called BT toxin. It comes from a bacteria that's out there, and it's used by organic farmers as a method of natural insect pest control. Genetic engineers figured out how to put it into the DNA of corn, cotton plants, and so their notion is, the genetic engineers, that this BT toxin will be destroyed in our stomachs quickly, and even if it survived, it won't cause a reaction to humans or animals. Well, that's what they're claiming. It turns out they may not be completely right. That what they're finding now is people with, in effect, a compromised immune system to begin with, or pre-existing allergies, may actually be particularly susceptible to the effects of BT. An example would be, a number of years ago, there was a gypsy moth outbreak in Vancouver and in Washington State, and what the government did is they sprayed natural BT over wide areas of the state. Turns out about 500 people reported reactions of allergy, flu symptoms. 6 people had to go to the emergency room. This is the natural version of it. Now, it turns out the BT toxin that has been put into the plants is about 3 to 5,000 times more toxic than the BT, the natural version that was sprayed in Vancouver and Washington State. What this means is, in this country where GM-modified foods are not labeled, whereas in Europe they are, so you can make a different choice, most of the corn crop is a GM feature now. Cotton, GM feature. So when you eat corn, you may actually be taking into your body pesticides that can harm you. So what we want to look at doing is get organic corn, contact your representative, contact the FDA, tell them you're outraged that we can't make a choice as to whether or not to buy GM foods because it's not on the label, and that we want labeling to be done. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking to my guest about exercise. She's a fitness guru, and she's created programs that you can use for do-it-yourself workouts that you can do at home. We're going to be taking a look at that in just a few minutes. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's a new discovery, latest information about these healthy alternatives that you can use for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones. In honor of my guest who's going to be on the show, my fitness expert, I want to talk about walking. Walking can stop cognitive decline in older, healthy folks. It can also help people who have impaired function who are elderly. Now, this is research from a 20-year study where they had 426 older adults, and they got to look at changes in their brain volume. In other words, how big was their brain? If they didn't exercise, it would shrink. If they exercised, it actually preserved that brain volume. So the question became is how much exercise was enough to succeed in maintaining brain volume? Well, it turns out for healthy adults, it means you need to walk about 6 miles a week. That turns out to 72 blocks on the city streets. If somebody's cognitively impaired, they only have to do 5 miles, which turns out to be about 58 city blocks in a week. So what we're looking at is something very simple you can do, some brisk walking, so that you can actually be maintaining your cognitive health or keeping it from declining if you do have an impairment. So take a look at that, get your sneakers on, put this show on an iPod, and just start your walking. Before I bring on my guests, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Laura Alderson. She's an energetic and fit baby boomer. She's healthier now at, and I'm going to say your age, Laura, 51, than at 21. What got her motivated was success at reversing her own bone loss, osteopenia, and resolving chronic back pain through exercise. Laura has gone on to create My Trainer Fitness line of exercise products with do-it-yourself personal trainer workouts for adults, for kids, for using at the gym, outdoors, and at home. So, Laura, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So let me ask you a question. How, in some of this, you're talking about the reversing bone loss, resolving chronic back pain. Can you tell us more about how you got started into this whole wellness journey for yourself?
Sure. Well, so there I was, around 45 years old, and looking at the body and experiencing chronic back pain and not satisfied with either situations and not accepting the fact that, well, I'm just getting older. I heard the quote, disease in old age is a myth, and I thought that made a lot of sense. And so after spending hundreds of dollars a week basically in just to sort of help mitigate and alleviate the chronic back pain, I began to think there had to be a better way. And that it really began to make dawn on me, I mean, sort of surprise, I should have known this all along, but, you know, I think we get so busy over our lives we forget that, you know, physician, heal thyself, that we are the stewards of our bodies, and most of the time our lives these days are sedentary and not designed to facilitate the way our body was built to be and to live, basically.
Now, had you actually done exercise when you were younger and kind of got away from it, or never really did much in the way of exercise?
No, no official exercise program. I was always active. I grew up in Hawaii, and I did a lot of body surfing and was just always outside, walking, running, jogging for fun. But again, nothing structured. So no, just active. But then, so here I am, you know, not active anymore, basically, and experiencing these problems. So I basically, I was doing exercise DVDs at home for a couple years, and that helped tremendously, but it didn't resolve the back pain or the spinal bone density loss. And so there was experts recommended resistance training and weights. You know, I think most women tend to think of dumbbells and exercise, you know, weight machines with intimidation. It's like that's not for us. That's for big, burly guys at the gym. But surprisingly, it really is very effective and very essential for women as well as men.
Yeah, actually, from the research that I've seen out there, you just do aerobic exercise, you're going to have all this bone loss and muscle that you can lose from the upper part of your body, and heart muscle too.
That's right. In fact, if you think about the difference in the appearance of long-distance runners versus bodybuilders, weightlifters, there's just a lot more vibrancy and elasticity to the skin of those who tend to do the weight training versus those who do the long distance, which can actually be very wearing on the body. So for me, it was a process of, okay, so how do I be more effective in the gym? What should I do? And so I decide to hire a personal trainer for a couple days a week to begin to help me get familiar with what I needed to do to have an effective and comprehensive workout. And, you know, the long story made short, basically, is I'm completely resolved the chronic back pain, as you indicated in the opening, as well as completely reversed the early bone. Basically, osteopenia is precursor to osteoporosis. Or sclerosis, and so that's gone, and that's not a problem. And so to we get to the point of realizing that, wow, the power was within me all along, and it was just a simple change of exercise, and it made such a huge difference, because as anyone who has been in chronic pain or debilitated for any period of time knows, that's so wearing and exhausting. And when you get to the other side of it, it's the opposite. It's so energizing and uplifting. It's hard not to evangelize about it, because you want everyone to have that experience of, you know, how powerful that can be in their lives.
Now gyms are kind of jammed in January, probably from New Year's resolutions, and then they tend to lose folks by April. You know, they've lost a lot of the folks who started. What do you see as the problem that's causing that, and what to do about it?
Well, I think that, Jerry, I think most of us take our promises to others more seriously than those we make to ourselves. I mean, most of us make a commitment and keep it, you know, when it comes to others, that is. And when it's our New Year's resolutions, well, it's, again, that's sort of a promise to ourselves, and it's for some reason, and wonder why that is. Maybe that's a whole other show. Why do we tend to let ourselves down? You know, in a way, some people it could be sort of a self-sabotage, and others it's maybe we just don't take our commitments to ourselves so seriously. But if we treated our friends the way we tend to treat ourselves when it comes to that, then we wouldn't have very many of them. So I think that's it. It's, we haven't committed. Well, two things, really. The other is that we tend to place all the burden of fitness on January. But really, you know, it's the whole year. It's a lifestyle. You know how it is when we're planning for a special, like a family reunion or a high school reunion or a special event or New Year's, we tend to think of it and put all the attention into that deadline, that goal. And then when it comes and goes, now we're into middle January, and basically life continues as normal, and we haven't yet found a way to fit things in a well without pushing ourselves a little bit more, it's easy to let it fall by the wayside. And so what it really boils down to is needing to begin to look at any of our goals as basically vital, essential, and commitments to ourselves, and schedule it into our lives.
There's an interesting way to set goals that you may or may not have heard of, so you set your goals, and then you give a sum of money to a friend to hold, and if you don't meet your goals, and a sum of money that would hurt if you had to give it away, and
yeah.
What you do is you give it, if you don't meet those goals, to the organization or charity or whatever that you hate the most. So not only are you losing the money, but you're supporting a group that you don't really like at all.
Have you tried that? Are you?
I haven't tried it.
Okay,
I don't need that kind of motivation normally.
No, right, exactly. Well, no kidding. Considering all that you've accomplished, you absolutely do not. But you know that's a good point. I think the thing is there are so many tools, and pretty much any of them work if we use them. So we have the tools, and that could be one of them for many people with exercise. When it comes to exercise, it's the buddy system. For instance, I'm fortunate that I go to the gym each morning with my family, my husband, my two teens. Most mornings, sometimes for me, though, the morning is a very productive time, so it's hard to tear myself away from work to go to the gym, even if I'm at my desk at 6:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, to break away for an hour and a half is hard. Especially when it's busy. So sometimes I defer it to the afternoon. Well, I did that last week. I was so tired by the end of the day, and my 15, almost 16-year-old daughter pushed me to go to the gym. So she volunteered to go with me, even though she had already been in the morning. She dragged me literally to the gym. And, you know, if it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't have gone. But within 5 minutes of being on the first cardio machine warming up, I was just so glad to have been there. And that basically is how it is that I've come up with a motto for My Trainer Fitness, our company, and the motto is never easy, always worth it. Because here's the thing, I've never gone through a workout or pushed myself to do a workout that I've regretted. So, and yet I've almost always regretted that poor health choice, you know, that junk food or not going and not doing the exercise, because when we don't do the things that we know we should do or that we want to do that are good for us, that better ourselves, then we spend the rest of the day or the rest of sometimes a lifetime making excuses, and excuses are you know, exhausting, basically.
Now, let's focus for a minute on the person who hasn't exercised for years. And, you know, it kind of looks overwhelming out there in terms of getting started with, you know, what should I do, how should I do it, and how should somebody who hasn't exercised for years actually get started?
You know, and that's so true, and it's a good point to cover, and that is that, here's one. There are several ways to look at it. One would be, let's say that they haven't exercised for years, and let's say that they're 45. And so if they were to look back and imagine themselves at 50, and looking back and saying, gosh, you know, when I was 45, I was so overwhelmed. I knew I should work out, but it was just too overwhelming. I didn't start. Or they can be at 50 and look back and say, gosh, when I decided to do that at 45, I am so glad I did, because now look what I've accomplished 5 years later. But it doesn't take 5 years, but that's the point, I think, is that regardless of whether it seems overwhelming in the moment, one step at a time, one thing at a time, that is a positive change in our lives and our routines will definitely add up. And so often it's the little things. So a simple way to get started would be join a gym. If you don't already belong to a gym, then invest in a gym membership, preferably with a friend or family member, and make a commitment to go at least 5 times a week. And if you can't imagine 5 times a week, then start out with 3. If you can't at all buy into the idea of a gym, can't imagine yourself in one, don't like gyms, then invest in an exercise DVD at home or an exercise program. We have workouts for at home or at the gym. Or something like a walking buddy, get on a walking routine. So I think that the bottom line answer is do something. Make a commitment to do something. Choose something you really enjoy. For instance, there is a big Zumba craze or dance exercise kind of programs that people love. Those who hate exercise but like to dance, well, maybe that's the answer for them. And so do something that's fun. Do something that you know you can enjoy doing well enough to commit to it, and then just start.
Now, one of the things would also be to warn somebody who hasn't exercised for years to go very lightly at first, because they potentially will have soreness because they haven't exercised in so long, but not to let the soreness overwhelm them in terms of "I'm sore, I'm quitting."
Yes, absolutely. In fact, if they haven't exercised in years, depending on how out of shape they feel or think they are, of course, check with their doctor and make sure that they're okay, their physical condition is good enough that they can get started with approval of their doctors or health professionals. And then, the thing about soreness, Jerry, I've come to really – I actually called you Jerry because I know you as Jerry, but should I be calling you Dr. Teplitz?
No, it's fine. Jerry's fine.
But
before you answer this part, I need to take a break. So,
okay.
Before we
we'll
continue, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be getting back to Laura Alderson in just a moment. She's a fitness expert, and talking to her about that. Be back in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz's DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, "These techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too." Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So I'm talking to Laura Alderson. She is an energetic and fit baby boomer, healthier today at 51 than at 21. And it was her own difficulties with bone loss, chronic back pain that motivated her to explore exercise. And she's created a fitness line called My Fitness Trainer. And you can actually go to myfitnesstrainer.com to learn more about her products. So, Laura, I got a question for you. So somebody starts exercising, they haven't done it for a long time. How quickly can they see results?
Okay, great question. And let me just put in a slight correction. It's actually My Trainer Fitness. So it's mytrainerfitness.com. That's okay. It's okay. You got it in the first segment. It's a common mistake. How quickly should someone see results? Well, as far as basically their body changing, I would say give it a month. But as far as you mentioned right before the break about soreness, as far as soreness goes, you might notice it right away. And you might notice a feeling stronger right away. For me, basically, I felt better the very next day, the very first time I started back into exercise. And by the end of the first week, I noticed little changes, like just more stability in my core, less likelihood to drop things. So, you'll notice small changes and bigger changes, give it a month.
I've actually done research looking at the elderly and exercise.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you're right, it's about a month that they'll start seeing some very dramatic changes. Balance improves. It can affect memory, a whole range of things that can happen for the elderly. So, yeah, what you're saying about a month is actually right in tune with what I'm aware of. Now, if somebody doesn't want to join a gym, what can they do at home?
Well, there's a plethora of DVD resources available. All you have to do is, just from anything from dance DVDs to kickboxing, Taibo, you know, whatever. So that's another thing. We have a six pack that means there are six workout cards that are laminated that has a complete workout in each of the six cards, and that people can do at home in about 30 minutes each time. So that's another option. So I would just say, look up what it is you're interested in, the subject you're interested in, and then exercise, you know, whether it's dance or whether it's kickboxing, that sort of thing, and invest in it and just begin to start.
Now, with yours, your program, what kind of equipment, if you're doing it at home, do you need?
We try to keep it really simple. So basically, you just need a mat and a set of dumbbells, preferably a light set and a heavy set, and maybe an exercise ball, but that's optional. So we keep it really simple.
So it's not going to take up a lot of space, and it's something that they'll have room to do. That's perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, what about people who just hate to exercise?
Well,
they
want
to get in shape.
Yeah.
What should they do? Because they hate it.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, well, and I know that's an interesting question, too, because I asked my personal trainer after a couple years if she ever got to the point where she liked it, because I don't know that I still – today, to this day, actually like it, but you always like the results afterwards. So first, though, see if you can find something you like. Well, you know, if you like to do tennis, if you like tennis or want to learn how, then try that. If you want to try racquetball, you know, like racquetball, try that. So start with something you like. I think that's the easiest way.
Great. Now, what about women who are concerned about bulking up on weights so that they're just going to do cardio but they're not going to do weights? What's your advice for them, and why should they be doing weights?
It's so funny because it's such a myth. Unless we're taking, you know, unsavory medications that we shouldn't be taking, most women would find it really difficult to bulk up with weights because pound for pound, muscle weighs is smaller than fat. Basically, pound for pound, muscle is smaller than fat. And what happens is they actually lean out. The even if their scale doesn't change, their measurements will get smaller.
So her website again is mytrainerfitness.com. What is your focus in terms of the kinds of exercises you're giving folks in there? Let's go to the 'cause you got an outdoor one. So
yes.
what would be the focus on the outdoor one, for example?
Well, it's segmented into basically two or three circuits where they go through a series of exercises, weights, and then maybe plyometrics or some kind of cardio. And it's designed to basically keep the heart rate up, keep the person moving, but to incorporate both cardio and resistance training. Some of the resistance uses body weight, and some of it uses actual dumbbells. And it's fast, basically 30 minutes. And I love that for spring and fall and part of summer when it's especially nice to be outside.
So you're positioning weights outside, kind of like doing a little mini circuit when you're doing
yes.
stuff?
Yes. Yeah, you just have a mat. You just need a mat and, again, a light and heavy set of dumbbells. And then just an area where, for instance, we live in a subdivision that has hills. And one of my favorite things is to do hill sprints. So that's very effective, and I incorporate that.
And I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and we are beach, flat.
Exactly. You're flat, so you've got the sand, and sand is a great.
I'm not that close to the beach anymore.
Okay.
Anyway, so can you give us a couple of success stories of people who've taken what you've created, your information, and that they've had success with it?
Yes, I heard just over the weekend from a VP of marketing at one of our, actually a national bank, who has run marathons and triathlons and has been working out for a number of years. He's around 45 years old. And he started back in the summer with our workouts. And I just got an email from him saying that he just really was enjoying it and that he thought he was fit before, but now he feels better than he's felt in a long, long time and has muscle definition and is still lean and just basically healthy and more vibrant than he was when he was doing all that hard, just aerobic training. Another one is a lady who lost 50 pounds, and just over a period of about, it was really a pretty rapid weight loss over a period of about 6 months.
Was it just exercise, or was it exercise, diet, you know, several different elements going in, but exercise being an important component?
Yeah, that's yes, exactly. That's a key question. Really, it's three things. It's exercise, diet, and adequate rest. So, yes, you have to get the proper nutrition. You can't, and, you know, sometimes, though, it can be just small changes. Just like exercise, it can be, in fact, we're more likely to keep up the exercise program and the dietary changes when we just make small things like substitute a negative snack or a negative food for a positive, substitute sitting on the couch in the evening after dinner for a brisk walk around the block. So those are the little things that we can do incrementally that make a huge difference in the long run.
And if you are using exercise as part of a diet program, I know that by doing resistance weights, you actually have a burn go on much longer than if you're just doing cardio. So you're actually burning more calories over a longer period of time just by adding that resistance in to increase the effectiveness of your separate weight loss program.
That's absolutely right. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's another real big advantage to adding in resistance training. When you're on the cardio machine and you step off, you stop burning, basically. You know that. So the little calorie meter on the machine, when it stops and you get off, then basically the calories have stopped burning as well. When you do weight training, then the weight and muscles burn, muscle burns more energy, more calories than fat, and so that burn that you've created in the muscles continues to burn calories at an elevated rate.
Now, what would you say kind of the key element for success is going to be with exercise?
Consistency. Just making that commitment to yourself, and then don't make it optional. Make it just a part of built-in part. You know, we brushing our teeth every day is not optional. You know, getting nutrition every day is not optional. So then make exercise not optional, but just a part of your life.
So we've been listening today to Leora Alderson, an exercise fitness guru. And if you want to learn more about her, you can go to her website at mytrainerfitness.com. Leora, thank you for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Terrific. Next week, I'm going to be talking to Connie Huft. Connie is somebody who you would describe as a weight loss diet junkie and a failure at losing weight. She's been up and down all around. At age 40, though, she was 240 pounds. Since she's a former cardiac and emergency room nurse, she put her skills together and really did an in-depth study of the physiology of fat loss. From the information she learned on how hormones are affecting our bodies and what we can do about it, she lost 80 pounds and wound up competing in her first physique competition. We're going to have fun on this one. You're not going to want to miss this show. We'll see you next week. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.